The dark web can be like a restaurant for identity thieves.
Hi, ready to order?
I'll have the driver's license number.
Great, that comes with a home address or a birth date.
Ooh, both, please.
It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. LifeLock by Norton makes it easy to help protect yourself. If you become a victim, we'll work to fix it. No one can monitor all transactions, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year at LifeLock.com/aware. Identity theft protection starts here.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance now more than ever on this August 12th, Friday, 2022. And tonight, we have, like we always have, a whole lot to go through. So it's going to be like lightning rounds tonight. But we have a rising star in radio, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
And live here in the studio, I have with me Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And way out yonder in Texas, way down yonder in Texas, wearing his 10-gallon hat and his boots and carrying that computerized Bible with him. None other than statesman and co-founder of Cops for Christ, national and international author and chaplain and preacher, Big John McTurnan.
Well, hello, Pastor Ernie, and God bless you and all our listeners.
We got a lot to do tonight. Now, John, I have a feeling tonight because of the content of our program. And, you know, whenever we get preparing, the first one that shows up, especially a Sunday morning, early, very early, when I'm preparing and working on my message, my sermon, the first one that gets to church that beats me there is the devil himself, Satan. He's always ready there. And tonight I have that feeling that he's standing by because of the content of the program tonight. So would you open us in prayer and petition the good Lord to hedge this radio program and the ministries tonight, that we stay up on all the stations and that this program blesses the listeners tonight.
Yes. Father, we're before you in the awesome name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're asking for the protection of the show and all the message going out to all the stations. Lord, it's a very important message as things are really, really coming to a head here. So I'm asking your anointing, special anointing on Pastor Ernie, myself and others as we assist him. And everything we put under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us on Calvary. And this show will be a great show tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, John. John, you know, the message was, our God is an awesome God. And, And I think what it does, it's very encouraging to people to when we realize just how awesome our God is. And we can have absolute total confidence that God is able to deliver everything he says. And we know this. We know that he always does what he says, when he says, how he says, without error. And so here I've been preaching, and I'm going to pick it up on the second half because I could probably preach on it for a year, all of the attributes and the awesomeness of God. But I'm going to pick it up, Lord's willing, because I had a number of people ask me if I would preach the second part of that message. I only got halfway through. And often I have intentions of doing that, but the Lord gives me something else. And so, Lord's willing, I'm going to preach the second part of that message, that our God is an awesome God, talking about the characteristics, the awesomeness, the power of Almighty God himself. And when you realize who God really is, you realize you have that peace that passes all understanding, absolute confidence in our Father who art in heaven, huh?
Yes, Pastor Ernie. He does things in his time. Sometimes it's slower than we would like, but in the end, he wins, Pastor Ernie. God always wins.
Alrighty. Let's pick it up where we left off in 1 Timothy chapter 1. John, would you read verses 15 all the way through 17, and then Ron, you read verses 18 through 20, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 1. Go ahead.
Okay. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
All right, so let's go back here. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. In other words, is Paul saying this is reality? This is reality?
Oh, yeah.
That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, why do you think he said that he was the chief of sinners? He did something in particular that caused him to refer to himself as by that name.
He denied Christ three times?
No, Paul Peter.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. What he did was he oversaw the killing of Stephen.
Well, he did that, but that wasn't the Lord Jesus himself said this. Why dost thou persecutest me, Paul?
On the road to Damascus?
Right. So here, what he's saying, this is why Paul refers to himself as the chief of sinners, because the Lord himself personally rebuked Paul. And because Paul did, like you said, he held, he persecuted the church. He held the coat of Stephen while they stoned him. Okay. And so he goes on to say, that suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, this these next verses are something we kind of, that have been repeated over and over and over and over throughout history in psalms and poems and in hymns and hymn books. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. So is Paul referring to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of the Godhead spoken as he spoke of in Acts there?
Yeah, he says the only wise God. He's talking to that whole context there, starting in verse 15, is about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we see Paul referring to the Lord Jesus as God. And, of course, there's another very significant one. When the Lord had a conversation with Doubting Thomas, remember Doubting Thomas?
Yes.
And when Doubting Thomas touched him, he said, "My Lord, my God." So how does that go up against what there was being taught by Seventh-day Adventists and by the Jehovah's Witness? They believe that Christ was the Son of God, but not God the Son. They deny his deity. How do you think they can do that with so many places in Scripture the Lord Jesus is referred to as God the Son or God himself?
Spiritual blindness, Pastor.
Okay, well, now you have these two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, that got themselves in a lot of trouble for what they did is they were preaching a false gospel, preaching a very false gospel. Now, Paul says, "This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy." Now, when Paul wrote this, Paul at this time was up there in years, wasn't he?
Was First Timothy, was he in prison, Pastor Ernie? Was he in Rome in prison?
No, not at this time.
Okay.
But he was still up there in years. He may have been as old as you, John. All right. Okay, now listen. This charge I commit to thee, son Timothy. He had not had such... he wasn't very pleased with John Mark, was he, at this point? So here, he's got Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest have a good warfare. Now, what he said to Timothy about a good warfare, would that apply to us today, to all of us in the church today?
Well, Pastor Ernie, the warfare has never ended.
Okay, and so here...
It will only end when Christ returns and he deals with Satan. And you know, that's when the warfare will end. But it hasn't stopped one bit since the days of the Lord.
Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away... Some having put away concerning faith and have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, what do you think was the way that the Apostle Paul, the first thing he did when he says he delivered them unto Satan, did he deliver them unto Satan so they would go to hell?
No, Pastor Ernie, deliver them so things would get so bad that they'd humble themselves and turn back to Christ.
And that and today, if we do this today, it's something called church discipline or church polity. Now, today, how does a pastor or prophet turn one over to Satan. What we do is we separate them from the congregation. That's what it's referring to, that they were, Paul separated them. Now, in church discipline, when you have church discipline, what are some of the forms you think of church discipline today?
Within the church, I don't know, Pastor Ernie, there isn't really much discipline, to tell you the truth. That's a good question.
Okay.
We got to go by the scriptures, but we have the two or three witnesses. If someone is offended, that we are to deal with, go directly to that person, and then if that doesn't work, to come back with another witness, and then if that doesn't work, then they're to be removed from fellowship.
Okay, you have. Before that, you have what you call disfellowship, but doesn't mean necessarily removing them from the congregation, because you have to take each case by itself. Now, we see in the Bible that if the sin is a private sin, you deal with it privately. But if it's a public sin, you have to deal with it publicly. Okay? In other words, let's say within the congregation you had two married couples. And with those two married couples, one of the men from one couple and the wife, one of the husbands from one couple and the wife of the other having an affair. Now, they're doing this, but the only ones that know about it, obviously God does, but are them. But now... The Holy Ghost has brought them under conviction, so they come to see the pastor to find out what to do. Now, what has happened here, what they've done is they have they've had an affair. This time it's just been an emotional, not a physical affair, if you will. And so here, now this is a private thing. How do you deal with that? Well, let's just say that both couples have families. They have children or even grandchildren, okay? And some people, John, our age, have great-great-grandchildren, okay? But so how do you deal? Do you harm and the children or grandchildren, since this is private, or if there's a private repentance, if they repent? And then Jesus said, what? Go and do what? Sin no more. Go and sin no more. He's not saying go and don't sin so much, right? He's saying go and sin no more, right? And so, but now what if it's public? What if they're doing it? What if while right in church, or let's just say out in a restaurant someplace, or, you know, someplace out there on a beach or someplace, they're caught kissing, and they're seen by people, and people know about it. Then, how do you deal with that in the church?
Well, Pastor Ernie, that sounds like you kind of need, if they want to be restored, it needs like public repentance.
Right. So, what you do is they have to come before the congregation and repent and apologize and ask for forgiveness before the congregation. That's what we do at Doers of the Word Church, okay? And if they're too prideful to do that, if they don't want to do that. Now, we've had people, I had a case of a woman who had children by a man who belonged, well, this woman started attending our church, and she had children by a deacon in another church who was out of wedlock, and she had asked for forgiveness and repented of that there. But then, after starting to attend our church, she did the same thing. And then she was required to come up, and because it became public, and apologize to the congregation and before she would do that, she left the church. She left the church, okay? And so do you think that she delivered herself over to Satan?
Without that repentance, Pastor Ernie, and asking God for forgiveness, I mean, she's like put herself in Satan's realm.
Absolutely. And so here's what these two do, Hymenaeus and Alexander. Paul had thrown him. Now, normally, excommunicate, if you will, if you want to call it, or disfellowship with someone, we don't normally want to expel them from the congregation, because the people that are doing this, they're the one that need to hear the gospel more than any others. But we will disfellowship with them. In other words, that means we don't fellowship at all. We don't go out to eat with them. We don't go attend places. Our family doesn't go to see their family, this and that. That's called disfellowshipping for a certain period of time, okay? And when there's real repentance, then the disfellowshipping stops, doesn't it?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie. But from my experience, it seems like if there's going to be discipline like you're talking about, the people usually just leave.
Yeah, they do. And when that happens, then that's what that shipwreck that Paul is talking about, they do it to themselves, don't they?
Right. And what happened is they take that same thing, that same problem, wherever they go. It's not resolved. And it'll just get worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and repentance is required, right, for forgiveness of sin. It's required. You know, and now the Word of Faith movement teaches that repentance is not even required for salvation. That you can go and you can receive eternal life without asking for forgiveness of your sin. Where is that taught other than the Word of Faith movement? That's not what was the first thing Jesus talked about when he preached? Repentance.
Yeah, repentance. It's in Luke that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in my name throughout all the world.
So who was the first pastor of the church? By the way, it was a Baptist pastor.
John.
You're right. John actually had a congregation. He was the first pastor of a church until the Lord Jesus came. And he was the prophet. And that was John. Pardon?
Yeah, thanks, Ernie. It's Luke 24:47. And let me just share those scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are my witnesses of these things.
Amen. I'm going to go over to Deuteronomy 9. Or wait a minute, was that Deuteronomy 9 or was that Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11? Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 11.
Pastor Ernie, if we share the gospel with people and we don't bring in repentance, that their will might not be engaged. I mean, we actually have to turn from sin. So if we're not telling people or saying, would you like to repent now and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it might not be a genuine conversion. Because they still might want to sin. And, you know, it sounds like, hey, really good, this eternal life with Jesus Christ, but they still may want to sin. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why repentance is so important.
All right, very good. Let's see. We have that spot, Craig, that we play about 9/11, the 9/11 spot, about the doing exactly that. Repentance, revival, and are you listening there? If it's time to go ahead and take it away. This is Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. In Matthew 24, verse 8, our Lord warns of a future time that he calls the beginning of sorrows. The world is on the brink of that time. In Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yes, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." I believe that that passage of Scripture currently describes the deplorable moral condition of both America and Israel today. Please join with us on September 11th for a National Day of Repentance, fasting and praying for revival. Encourage your pastor to preach a sermon on repentance, fasting, and revival on 9/11/22. May God bless America.
A strange sensation has seized the nation. Man, things are suddenly peculiarly odd. Instead of thugs and thieves breaking down our doors, we now deplore the federal forfeiture squads, who have a blessing from our Congress to take a cut of everything they can steal. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, things have suddenly become unreal. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. They got new laws now, they're calling loan fraud. Looks like our law enforcement grew a new arm. You make misrepresentation on your loan application, you might just have to forfeit the farm. The crazy fact is, it's retroactive, which lets them loot your life historically. You may be dead in your grave, but if you did not behave, you might just forfeit up your family tree. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
The ATF and the FBI just hired the KGB. The ADL's got a list for sale,
but you're anti-Semitic if you call it a conspiracy.
Now how could they call it a conspiracy?
My widowed mama, they stole her condo on another federal seizure forfeiture spree. She made the tragic mistake of renting to some reprobate they caught with drugs inside her property. They say her condo somehow is guilty. Now have you ever heard a condo confess? Here in the land of the free and the home of the slave, it's a tangled legal web of a mess. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Please, please, federal policeman, now this is 10 times worse than Whitewater Gate. Before you pass right on through somebody's private property, seizing my poor daddy's farm. Sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone.
station here in my home. Please, please, purple policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, purple policeman, you do the Constitution bodily harm. Please, please, purple policeman, sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on.
All righty, please, please, Mr. Policeman. Okay, I got this. This is my declaration of opposition to the current tyranny of this current regime. When a government is determined to silence all opposition, it is on the road ever-increasing impression of the people and will become a terror, forcing people to live in fear. This is a wake-up call to the nation. You have no moral obligation to in any way recognize any such legitimacy of this present regime. That's my declaration. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, that means that you don't, they've gone so corrupt, you do not have to obey or abide by them. You don't have to recognize them. Now, I'm not telling you they don't have power. I'm telling you they have no legitimacy and they have no authority. Now, here, I want to take you to God's Word, the Bible. I want to take you over to Proverbs chapter 24. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, while thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. So what is he telling you there? He's telling you that you don't have respect of wicked people, of people that are doing evil things. When we talk about right now, I've said it many times, but I think Merrick Garland would be very hard-pressed, and Christopher Wray, to find people to prosecute that are as or more corrupt than themselves. I think they'd be very, very hard-pressed. I don't think when Merrick Garland, and remember what Merrick Garland did with the Unabomber. The Unabomber, he refused to move. He refused. He held things up, giving the Unabomber all kinds of time to continue doing what he was doing. But he goes after President Trump. What is it that they hate about Trump? Well, for one thing, Trump actually kept his promises. He kept his promises, and they're scared to death because of the corruption. And here you had one of the things that they feared so much is you had that Operation Crossfire. There are a lot of damning information on involved with the illegal activity by the FBI and the Justice Department. And they wanted to make sure that doesn't come out. They know unless they can stop the election in November, unless they can find and what has happened, the people are so angry now that we have a handful of Republicans who are for real, a handful of Republicans that have some metal that are willing to fight, and the people are so angry. That handful of Republicans are going to encourage people to burn down the phone lines of those do-nothing Republicans. And they know what's going to happen. They know if there is a fair and honest election, then they're going to be, Merrick Garland is going to be brought. He's going to be impeached. And there's going to be an investigation. And there's so much corruption there. They know that. I want to take you over to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they are both an abomination in the Lord. You know, we need to pray for the good people, the patriots that went to Washington, D.C. on March 6th, on January 6th, those that went there because an election was stolen, to protest the stolen election. They went there to do what apparently Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do or the integrity to do. And because of that, those good people were prosecuted by much lesser people. They were severely persecuted by much lesser people. I want to take you over now also to Isaiah chapter 5. In Isaiah chapter 5, starting with verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. He's talking about the very kind of people that set that up, that Washington, D.C., those people that beat the one Christian lady to death. Those people, those cowardly, racist, hating those racist, cowardly cops that killed people, that shot Mrs. Babbitt right in the face and murdered her. These are the kind of people he's talking to. Okay, when hell hath opened her mouth large, and they're going to descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled. And the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. These corrupt, these very, very extremely corrupt people, like Merrick Garland, like Joe Biden, like Pencil Neck Adam Schiff, these people here is what he's talking about. And the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall. They may have a lot of money and they have a lot of power right now in their wickedness and their evil, but they will be humbled. God says they're going to be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. He's going to be exalted because God is going to. He is going to bring judgment upon these people. And then shall the lambs feed their manor, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. They that say, let us make speed and hasten, that we may see it, and the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And nobody does that better than the fake news media. NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, okay. And so here, we see, John, that Twitter rolls out the election. Listen to this. Twitter calling election misinformation rules. Here, they have these new rules. So they're calling it the election misinformation rules ahead of the 2022 midterms. So, in other words, what are they? Are they trying to say, in other words, they want to censor free speech and the truth? Is that what they're saying?
Oh, absolutely, Pastor. Absolutely.
And
you know,
here,
when I look back at this, the Republicans had a chance to do it, really, under Trump, and they didn't. And I think a lot of them were bought off. They were getting money from campaign money from Google and Facebook and all of them. Because why they were I'm not going to call them Democrats. Well, the media, the
Democrats, the communists,
social media. They wanted to destroy part of their agenda. Was to destroy the Republican Party, and the Republican parties wouldn't control them, in that they should be fair. So you could see there was something really wrong, Pastor Ernie, with McConnell and all of them. And I'm convinced that they were getting money from these social media groups.
Well, McConnell's got his ties to China, and China owns NBC, ABC, and CBS. Yeah. They do what China tells them to do. And just like they're owned by also by the Big Pharma, all you have to do is watch their commercials. This commercial, this message brought to you by Pfizer. Okay. Anyhow, so now, do the people out there, John, do you think they realize, Ron, do you think they realize that we are in a war? Do you think that people realize that those that have been weaponized against us American people, against the American Christians, the American conservative, the American patriot, do you think that people realize that the White House, all of the fake news media, the EPA, the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the CDC, the ATF, the IRS, the DHS, the FDA, all of them, do you think that the American people realize that all of these departments have been weaponized against we, the people of the United States of America?
Yeah, I think so. And once these IRS audits start hitting, I think that'll really wake people up. But I also think when you start taking the food off the table, that's when the light bulbs go off. You'll disregard all the meaningless stuff and start focusing on what's wrong.
Okay, so these people out there that are registered Democrats, now the IRS, only 23% of the audits that they've done have been against the wealthy. We're talking about the people that make more than $200,000 a year, okay? Only 23%. The rest of the audits, well, which would be 77%, were against middle class or the poor, the people that cannot afford to hire lawyers to take them to court and fight with them, okay? And so do you think that these Democrats that voted for Biden and that are out there, that go along with that, and I'm talking about your neighbor down the street who doesn't happen to be very wealthy, one of the lawyers, you know, do you think if he tells the IRS, listen, I'm a Democrat, therefore you got to leave me alone. You know, we're in this together. We're on the same team. You know, you're out there to be against Christians and Republicans. Do you think the IRS is going to, you're going to back off and leave him alone?
Well, Pastor Ernie, on a high level, they will, you know.
On a high level, they will, yeah.
Yeah,
But I'm talking, look, give you an example. In the Roman Catholic Church, the vast majority of people, there are registered Democrats more than Republicans, okay? So do you think in the Roman Catholic Church that they're going to say to the IRS, look, these Democrats, I'm not talking about the whole church because it's probably closer to 50-50 now. It used to be mostly, but because of what, you know, what Biden and what they've done, I think probably, my guess, it may be, could be possibly that there might be even more Republicans now out there. You know, they may be wising up. Hopefully that would be the case. But so you say that it doesn't matter unless you're, as long as you've got power,
right,
then the IRS will leave you alone, right?
Right. Because the IRS, up on top now, when you get up to the management and you get into the head of the IRS and all, they don't want to hurt their own. I mean, so they're going to look the other way. They're going to maybe not do audits, do incomplete audits for Democrat-owned companies, things like that. Yeah, that's the way it'll come. Absolutely.
Okay, so that would be the collective, what we're talking, because this is Antichrist communism. It's pure communism. This is what we're up against. This is we are in a war here in America. And so they think that they can win this. They think that they can oppress the people But we've been given the FBI, and the same advice should go for the IRS. Are they going to get over on God?
Pastor Ernie, they only, I'm going to put it in quotes, they only win for a season. And the Bible refers to it for, you know, a short period of time. In the long run, they're crushed.
They win the battle, but they lose the war.
Okay.
Yes, somehow, some way, Pastor Ernie, are they going to be crushed. Now, ultimately, when we go into the book of Revelation, they will be given, evil will be given a period of time, Pastor Ernie, to, I guess you could say, rule and reign. We could look at it for maybe 3.5 years. And then at the end, the Babylonian system, as it's called, is completely destroyed by Jesus Christ. Totally, completely obliterated, destroyed. And then he sets up his righteous kingdom on earth.
So that first 3.5 years of that tribulation, God allows Satan to bring his wrath upon the earth. But then the second 3.5 years, we see God bringing his wrath upon Satan and the earth, don't we?
Yeah, especially Revelation 16. Those are all judgments that are taking place. I mean, the earth is being devastated, including the Babylonian, I'll call it the economic system and the political system. It's destroyed right at Christ's coming. It's completely, totally destroyed.
So if I were to ask you, okay, look, I know what you just said, and I know what we're talking about here, but I have to know, what would be the mathematical odds, if we were going to say this, you know, and you have to put this up to past history from day one with the prophecies, all the prophecies in the Bible, what would be the mathematical odds that everything that is written, all the prophecies in the book of Revelations, will unfold exactly the way that they're told?
It's incalculable. I mean, about Christ's coming. I mean, just the first coming. The first coming. There was so many prophecies, and now we're heading towards the second coming, and the pattern for that'll be in place for a second coming is all falling in place now.
So if you're out there, and if you're one of these people, you're a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, if you're Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden, and you're riding high, you've got all the money, you've got all these people, you think you're getting away with things now. What if you're thinking, well, look, I'm going to go ahead and do whatever I want, whatever I can get away with, and I'll repent. That's what I'll do. Just before I die, I'll repent. What's the problem with that mindset?
That mindset is they don't know when they're going to die. You know?
And what if they're not sincere?
Well, that was the point. The point is, at what point are they given? When they do that, if you say that, if you make a statement that I'm going to continue in my sin until just before I die, Are they showing actual repentance?
No.
So if there's no actual repentance, then have they been given over to a reprobate mind? Okay, when they can appear to be intellectually sound, yet they make these statements, have they become depraved? Is their depravity has set in?
Yeah, Pastor, I would say it has, but they're playing a game in their own mind where, you know, I'll turn to Christ just before I die. You know, I mean, Pastor Ernie, they could say, well, I'm going to turn to Christ tomorrow, and 5 minutes after they say that, they could have a heart attack and be gone. So it's foolish. God controls. The Bible tells us that the keys of death and hell are in the hands of Jesus Christ.
Okay, some years ago I had a a fellow worked for me. He was a Orthodox Jew, and he was a very scholarly man. And he would study, and he would study the scriptures, and he was studying the life of Christ, but he had not gone to repentance. And him and I would have long conversations on theology. On most everything we agreed, okay? But his statement was that he was going to continue to look into the life of Christ and pray about that and study. And then if, in fact, he come to the conclusion that Jesus was Messiah or is Messiah, and then at that point he would repent and convert. And I told him, I said, that's if you have time to do that. And he acknowledged that he was taking a chance, taking a risk there. Now, John, I asked you to do this yesterday because you were a federal agent for all those years, and these people, like in the FBI, again, I remember when you could hold your head up. And because there were most of the people that I knew, the FBI, were out there to do their job, to uphold the Constitution. Most of them were Christians. And they truly wanted to fight against the wicked and the evilness of communism and stand for truth and justice in the American way. But today, they've gone totally rogue. And so... you've got like 2 minutes. What was your advice for those agents, not just in the FBI, but in the CIA and the ATF and all out there? What is your advice for them?
Well, Pastor Ernie, we have to come to the realization that the American government is rogue, and they are working for kind of like the enforcement part of the rogue government. Now, the laws, the Constitution is being completely sidetracked. The complete, total political persecution developing now from Washington. They have two standards of law. Hillary Clinton can release all sorts of top classified information. Remember the whole thing, Pastor Ernie, of what she did. And not the slightest prosecution. Comey unauthorized, acquitted her, we'll say, rather than referring it to the U.S. Attorney's Office. So the FBI is being used now to persecute political opponents, even to the point of not looking at the 2020 election when the president requested it. The chief of the FBI, the Justice Department, said no, and then gave it a week. They looked at it for a week.
So they've turned on us. They forced upon the American people election fraud. They were behind that election fraud. They forced upon us bioweapon injection. They forced upon us mask mandates. They were bullying the parents of children in the public school system.
And Pastor Ernie, you just highlighted something tremendous. Can an FBI agent, could an FBI agent investigate parents who are upset because their kids are being taught the homosexual agenda in like the first, second, doesn't matter, first, second, third.
John, we'll have to answer that. We'll have to answer that because we're up against a heartbreak. But hang tight. We got a lot to come. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.